Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
How many of you know that as we move towards the holidays, there's a lot of things that become the focus, right? And sometimes, like, it's always forgotten the moments that we should be thankful and celebrating a birth that was given to us so long ago. Sometimes we let things in life just throw us off track. And I just love this song for this week because our worship really is a gift. Amen. It's a gift to Him. It's a gift to us because it really is communion. And I know we've talked about this so much, but we become effective as a church when we're a reflection of our Father. And we don't become a reflection of our Father when we don't know Him. That communion's important. They're not just songs. They're moments of praise. They're moments of thanksgiving. They're moments of blessing. They're moments of just spending time in the presence of the one who is important in the midst of it. Because He is the one that's moving the mountains. He is the one who's giving us every single thing we need. He is the one who's leading us in every single thing we do. And in a time of thanksgiving, that's a perfect way to give thanks. It's just turn to worship. You can have my heart. Search it. Go for it. Because I want more of you. I want you to replace what needs to be taken out. I want you to put more of what you have for me within me. It's exactly what you're doing those moments when you're going after Him, is you're asking for direction. You're asking for just moments of peace, moments of love. God has given you promises. And those promises tell you that you will have joy, that you will have peace, that you will have rest in times of trouble, that your burden will be light. So this Thanksgiving, be thankful because you don't got anything you got to worry about, because victory is yours. It's already been given. The promise is already there. The price has already been paid. God has already given you all the gifts, and He just wants to continue to give you more. Come on, church. Let's be thankful this morning. Let's just raise our voices in praise because we have so much to be thankful for. Hallelujah.
So, you know, we're just singing there. I never want to leave. You know, I'm caught up in your presence. And, you know, we have this open mic up here. Sometimes service is a little longer than normal. You know, when I was a less mature Christian, we'll put it this way, we used to go to a church that had multiple services. We go to that early service because we always knew we had to get out at a certain time. Right? Yeah. Like, you know what? There's no way we're staying late. Yeah, because, I mean, I want to go out and eat breakfast. But now, I don't want to leave. And, you know, I don't want to ever, like, rebuke somebody for saying this, but, like, you know, I hear a lot because, like, from up here, it's very easy to read the crowd, right? You know, I preached before. See, people kind of start getting squirmy, checking their watches, their phones. And, you know, I have to think to myself, I think back to Galatians where, am I here to please man or am I here to please God? And it's not because, like, whatever I say is great, but as long as I'm following the leading of the Lord, it's what needs to be said. And, you know, when you're here, you need to make sure you're present. They're not just filling a seat. You know, when you're hearing people, you need to make sure you're listening. Because, you know, also when I preach, every once in a while this comes up in the back of my head. And this isn't the message version, but does everybody know the parable of the sower? The four soils? There's this one that's especially relevant to us as Christians. And it said, "And the seed that fell in the weeds, well, these are the ones who hear, but then the seed is crowded out, and nothing comes of it, as they go about their lives, worrying about tomorrow, making money, and having fun." And it's Luke 8:14. But, you know, when we're here, we need to make sure that we're not focused on what we're doing after church. We're not focused on, you know what, like, "God, I just want to hear that one part for me." Because you'd probably be surprised that whatever he's telling you at the time is probably what you need to hear rather than what you want to hear. There's this thing where in Ezekiel it talks about people saying, you know, "Come and hear." How they're talking about how everything sounds like poetry, sounds nice. And it says, "But their hearts are far from me." And you know what? We have to become these people that are not only hearing this word, but we allowed it to, that seed of that word to be planted in us, because we are the soil. Okay? God's word, it's always effective if you let it work. So just prepare yourself. And then, you know what? Church, the sermon, that's only the beginning of learning a new thing, of revelation. The rest of it comes from you actually going through those scriptures yourself and going back and asking God. Because, you know, during that parable of the sower, he had a great multitude of people before him. How many people do you think understood what he said? I know his disciples understood what he said, because it says later, the part I read you, it says that the disciples went to him and said, I don't understand. What does this mean? Okay, you could hear the word, but unless you actually go to God and you get that revelation, you try to get that understanding, it's not going to take root. It's not going to grow. It's not going to produce fruitfulness. And you know what? I've seen so many times where people, they've given up just a little too early. Because you know what? Your breakthrough, it's probably just on the other side of that moment where you're feeling like, "I can't take it anymore. This is too much." You know, when it comes, because imagine if Moses, when he went up to the mountain, imagine if he said, "Well, you know what, God? You know, that's a lot of days. I don't really want to stay up there that long. I got a nice tent down here. Got everything I need. Can I just like go up, come back?" You know, it's like, no, he wanted to stay in his presence. So let me just encourage you that with this, that, you know what? Just forget about what's going on outside. Forget about what you're doing after this. Nothing is more important than being in the presence of God. To bring all that in, to have it seated in your heart, and then to have it just flourish and you become fruitful.
Good word, huh? You know, this week I have had many circumstances of people going through so much hurt. And, you know, too often people will just say, oh, I'm sorry. But then they don't talk to the person. They don't share the love of God. Those are the moments that we have to reach out and we have to share that. We have to give them hope. We need to give them encouragement. We need to love on them, not just walk away. I'm sorry, you're going through this. We have the answer in the Word. You know, when we think about how precious God's Word is, that we can share it with everyone. And too often, we just don't know what to say. But with the Holy Spirit, we can say, Lord, show me what you want me to tell this person. Show me what encouragement, what love, what care you want me to show. Because sometimes people will say something, and you know, before they come to church or they go someplace, and they say, God, give me a word today. Talk to me. It doesn't have to be in the church. It can be out there. Yesterday, I was able to go to breakfast with some friends, and some things came up. And you know, we were there at the table. We prayed. We weren't ashamed. We prayed. And I know that God heard our prayers. And if other people heard our prayers, that's okay. That's right. You know what? Because it goes to show people we're not afraid to say grace.
Right.
We're not afraid to be thankful. We're not afraid to praise God. Because we talked about God practically the whole conversation. And, you know, we're not holy rollers. We're just natural people who are hurting, who are loving, who are thankful, who are joyful. Whatever it is that you're going through, every one of us has a responsibility. We need to have that communion that they've been talking about with him so that when we go out, we're able to speak the words that God speaks. And sometimes he gives you revelation in the moment that you're with that person. We need to be listening. First, we need that communion with him. And it doesn't matter where you pray. You don't have to be on your knees. You know, sometimes you are, but you don't have to be. You can talk to him in the car, in the shower, in the grocery store, wherever. And just be alert. Look around. You know, if you see something you know is not of him, then curse it in Jesus' name. And just, you know, ask God to bring blessings to the things that are of him. And that we as people, we speak out. Just think about this. One woman, an atheist, took prayer out of our school. How much more for all of us that if we stand together and united and we speak out against the things that shouldn't be? Like abortion, you know, different types of subjects that we just walk as a world and say, well, that's the way of the world. No, it's not the way of the world. You know, it is the way of the world, but we have to stop it. We are empowered by God's word to say no. We are empowered by him to know what to say, what to do, where to go, where to stand, what to believe in. But we've got to share it. If we stand quiet, his word isn't getting out there. It's our responsibility to get it out there. And so don't think that you're not empowered. You're empowered by the word of the Holy Spirit. You are empowered each and every day to stand for him. You are empowered to get through whatever it is that you have to get through. And how much better is it that when you're going through trials, you're expressing faith, you're expressing the strength, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Where people are going to say, I want what you have. And then you can share that with people and say, I have this because I have God in my life. I have the Holy Spirit who leads me, guides me, watches over me, sees my coming and going. It's so important, people. We need to take a stand for him.
Amen.
He died on the cross unashamedly, and he went through horrors that we can't even fathom or imagine. So what more is it that you can speak a word, even if it's upsetting, because the seed goes and it's planted, and then God will send someone else to water it, someone else to fertilize it, and it's just going to keep growing. But we have to stop being ashamed. We have to stop being shy and timid, because he didn't give us that. He gave us the authority to stand and believe his word and to speak it forth. So if you're going through something right now, you find that scripture and you stand on it, because he says, my word does not return void. He tells us too that, you know, we have the power to speak life and death. So when things are happening, then please, you know, think about what you're speaking. Don't speak negativity. Don't speak, well, I don't know if God's going to help me. I don't know if God's going to answer my prayer. He's going to answer it if you don't doubt. The miracles happen regardless of what we see in this natural realm. In the spiritual realm, battles are going on. And sometimes all we have to do is stand and worship him and love on him. And he creates what we need. So please, I encourage you today to walk in the Spirit, to hear his small voice, because he doesn't force you to do anything, but he can show you the way. He can show you what needs to be spoken. He can encourage you and others. And you know what? Sometimes I found that when I encourage someone, he's talking to me. And it's funny, you know, and sometimes I'll even share that and say, you know, I'm getting the message too. So please, just listen and walk it, because you're going to find your life is so much more fulfilled, and that with him, there's joy, and you just get encouraged and you get strengthened, and you just make it a better world. And sometimes when we see other people's prayers get answered, it strengthens you while you're going through what you're going through. So, you know what? Let's all go forth and be ministers for the Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Well, I really needed to hear that, because I wasn't about to come up here. I was going to be shy and timid and almost ashamed, you know, to say what I have to say. But the Lord gave me a word as I was just, I was here early and listening to them practice and getting ready to do the best job they possibly could for all of you. And to me, that's just so special, and that I got to listen to that. So this is the word that I got, and it says, "Do not lean on your own understanding. Submit yourself in freedom of will. That's your choice. And that you're not coerced into it. You don't feel like you have to. It's you do it because you want to, and the Lord will honor you. Too often do we feel compelled to submit, coerced, in fear, in thought, maybe even in the hopes to please the Father. But what we must realize is that our freedom to choose honors God when we make him the focus of our decisions. Amen. You cannot make any decision that will earn God's love, righteous or holy. The only thing which truly honors God is when we honor him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Give him ownership over your decisions if you wish to honor him in your decisions." And I have a prayer I would just like to pray over you guys and over myself, of course. Father, what is your perfect will for my life? What is it that you would have me do? Please help me to honor you with your guidance in my decisions, no matter how small. Help me to honor you in the least of matters so that I may praise you and submit a decision in the greatest of opportunities, valleys, and mountains. And I wasn't going to read this part, but it says Psalm 91 on the bottom. And it says, "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty." So that's my word for you guys today. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Randall. And I'd like to thank Pastor Henry for having open mic, because this is a holy ground. This is sacred to come up here and speak God's word to the congregation. And God expects us to speak his truth and not just come in just to blab everything. But how many of you guys believe we're in a spiritual battle right now, right? And those of us here, this is the darkest time we've ever seen on this earth. How many believe that? You know, we believe this is a pandemic. It's a pandemic. It's evil trying to take over what God has already started. So it says we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and what? The word of our testimony. Because it says in the word that be not just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. The word doers in the Greek means poetis. We get the word poetry from it. Don't be just hearers of the word. We need to be poets of the word. We need to be speakers of the word. You guys are God's royal priesthood. You are kings and priests. What does kings and priests do? They decree. If you don't say nothing, nothing happens. God is saying, this day, my royal priesthood, start decreeing, because by your decrees, we overcome the enemy. Right. Amen? You don't open your mouth, nothing happens. If the king doesn't make a decree, nothing happens. We are functioning under a government, not of the United States, but what? The kingdom of God. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. And God is telling his people today, you have all the weapons. Greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. Let's all say it as a congregation. Greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. No fiery darts of the enemy shall come and touch me. No sickness can dwell in me. When we start decreeing what God's word said, you give God legal jurisdiction to go and perform it. Okay? So God is saying, it's really important that we start proclaiming his word. We've been silent too long and the enemy has been taking ground. But now God is saying, go and just speak my word. He doesn't listen to your words. He listens to his word. And we say his word to him, it doesn't return void. Okay? Too many people are telling their problem to God and not telling him the answer. The answer is written there in the word of God. You know, my God supplies all my needs through his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. No one should be even suffering from any lack. So let's say it together as a church. My God supplies all my needs through his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Let's say it. We say it, guess what? God says the angels go and perform it. If we don't say it, nothing happens. You want to be in debt, you want to be in lack, all you have to do is keep your mouth shut. Okay? You are the prophets of your own future. God says you are the prophets now of your own future. If you declare it, he will perform it. But declare his word this day. Amen?
I'm one of the most timid and shy people there are. So if I can get up here, anybody can get up here. Okay. I'll read one of my poems. Several are just... I had a poetry session at work yesterday, and I had so many people in there. It was so funny. And the mood at the beginning of the poetry group was not good, because there's one angry person that's in that room and was constantly being angry. And after I read a few poems, because I started out with Helen Steiner Rice poems, and the mood changed, and everybody was smiling, and they were like, oh, that's so good. And then I started reading at the end some of mine, and the one that was really angry, she smiled at me and told me, thank you for sharing all those poems. And it just got to me. I was like, whoa. You know, I changed the mood in the room. So we can change the mood in any room if we truly speak what God is telling us. But this is one of my poems I wrote. We have to trust God every day. We have to trust and intensely pray for guidance at this very hour. Our Savior knows and has the power to protect and strengthen, guide and love. Yes, he's our awesome Father and looks on from above. So trust him, walk with him, sing to him, let your soul cling to him, and thank him for this journey of today.
Come on.
You know, I think there's been a common denominator with the people coming up here. The Lord is speaking to our hearts. And the Bible says that he will write his word on the tablets of our heart. Why does he do that? Our heart is the life-giving pump that produces the blood that flows throughout our bodies. And when he writes his word on our heart, his word flows through our body, and he wants that word to flow out among us. He gave us his word to have love, peace, and joy. He gave us word so that we would have operating instructions to keep us out of trouble, to show us how to change the world and subdue the world. He gave us his word and placed it on our hearts so that he could give his life-giving blood in our hearts so we could share it with the world. I'm sorry. He gave this to our hearts. When you changed your mind when you first came to Christ, most of you had tears in your eyes. Where did that come from? It came from your heart, your emotions. Why? Because you could feel the love. You could feel his word touched your heart. It drew you to him. And he wants you to spread that word and touch other people's hearts. Thank you so much.
Amen. I had a dream last night, and I wasn't entirely sure what it meant. And as we were up here worshiping, I felt like God spoke to me about it. But it was about, in my dream, there was a husband and there was this woman, but she wasn't the wife of the husband. And there were things going on that weren't supposed to be between the two. And as we were up here, I felt like God was speaking to me that he's the husband.
That's right.
That we're longing for, and we can't go looking for him somewhere where he's not. He says he's the lover of our soul. And in the end of my dream, the opportunity had passed, and I ended up where I was like grasping at these like empty wrappers. And I believe that what that means is the empty things that we're pulling from the world is not going to fill us. It's not going to satisfy us. But he is meant to be our husband. And as long as we're putting those other things first, we're not going to have that fulfillment. You can look up here at us and you can see the peace of God and you can feel the peace of God and the power of God moving. But it's not just meant for us. It's meant for everybody, every individual. And he wants you to pursue it because he loves you. You might say, oh, God says he loves me. God says he loves me. But until you really understand that he loves you as an individual for who he made you to be. He didn't make you to run after other things. All of your hope and your joy is found in him.
Amen.
I'm really, really glad that she spoke, because the whole time I had something for somebody. I'm not quite sure who it's for. But, you know, when you come into church sometimes with people that have grown up in church, that have been in church for a long time, you can get this feeling of like, I don't even know where to start. And can I tell you that you don't have to come into a church and start going to talk to somebody tomorrow. You don't have to come into a church and know what to say or what to do right away. But I think the theme, especially of today, has been that relationship with God. Amen. It's such a key to who we are. It's such a key to everything else that follows. You know, the Bible tells us that he will fight our battles. We just need to be still. And I think sometimes that people can be like, I don't understand. Be still. What does that do? I can tell you what it does. There are so many things that happen just on the day-to-day one-on-one that you have with God. You can come into a church every single day. You can listen to the pastor every day. You can hear people speak every single day. But let me tell you that the most precious thing for you is the revelation that the Holy Spirit will bring to you specifically, which is what I love about what you just said, because we are searching. And I can tell you that you will continue to search until you allow him to speak to you. You were given the Holy Spirit for a reason. Because it allowed you that communion. It allowed you the opportunity to get to know the Father one-on-one on a regular basis. It really is the foundation that you need to set, is the relationship. It's reading the word, allowing it to be written upon your heart, allowing it to be there so that in those moments that he needs it or that you need it to come forth, he'll pull it forth and you'll speak it. It's why this mic is something that we really enjoy in this church, because it's meant that each one of you know how to hear from God, that each one of you hear the things he's saying and be able to speak them. Because the church is all of us together. It's not the building. It's the body. It's every single part of the body. And it's why I believe that he has spoken so much about our relationship with him. Because even when you come in and you don't know where to start, that's exactly where you should start. Let me just get to know you. I just want to know you more. It's clearing all of the stuff that gets in the way, that causes us to get confused, think different things. It's all distractions. The only thing you need is him. Amen. The only thing that you need is to go after that word and go after him. You hear things when you come up here and you're not sure about them, go home and go after him. Tell him, I don't understand. I'm not sure about this, but I want to know more, because he's going to give you more. And now that thing that was spoken isn't just words, but it's real in your own life, because that revelation that happened revealed it to you, making it now personal to who you are. We can come up here and we can speak all the time. We can say the things that God's given us, but he always has something that he wants to speak specifically to you. And he will do it every single time. He will. I promise you. You go after him, you're going to hear from him. You're going to see things begin to come forth in your life. You're going to see that your relationship changes. You're going to see that your perspectives start to change. You're going to see that where you were before, just like Abe talked about earlier, my maturity was different. It's because when you were depending on hearing from others before, now you're mature enough that you're weaned and you're able to hear it on your own. It comes from the relationship. It's just like anything you do. As we grow up, we go to school. We spend time learning. We spend time practicing it in homework so that we know how to do it and we can go to the next level. It's the same thing with sports. It's the same thing with work. It's the same thing with everything in our lives. So why is it any different when it comes to the Father? It's the same thing. It's us needing to spend time to get to know who he is. It seems like it's so hard, but the truth is, it's so simple. When you think of it in that way of be still, let me do it, is what he's telling us. It's not anything we do. It's him within us. It's why things like even this song are so, man, they're so heartfelt to me, because nothing else matters. When I'm going through bad things, when I'm going through good things, it's the same thing that matters all the time. Because it's where you get direction. It's where you get instruction. It's where you grow. It's where you learn. You don't got to come in knowing everything. You just got to come in ready to hear. Ready to go after him. Listening and then taking it home. It's all, he's going to give it to you. He's going to help you grow. He's going to give you everything you need in the moment you need it. So don't even stress about, I need to be here. I need to do this. I need to do that. Don't worry about it. Don't stress. Just let him do it. Let him be the one who gives you everything that you need. Let him be the one who speaks. Let him be the one to reveal. Let him be the one to transform. Because there's nothing that you can do. There's nothing that you can say on your own. It's things that he does within you.
I've been hearing the same words all the while everybody's been speaking. Now is the time. Now is the time. Someone came in here today with something on their heart. Now is the time. And if it's something you've been wanting to receive, receive it. Now is the time. So that's all I have. Receive it.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Man, I really did appreciate all the words you speak. And hey, this is what we do here. If you feel the Lord just putting something on your heart, step up here. Because I want to hear what God's doing for you. I'll tell you what, as a pastor, I love hearing folks speak. Amen? It makes me feel good. It gives me a heart that, I say, God is working, God is working. How many say amen to that? Can I tell you something? When you're out there, you know what? Give the Holy Ghost a little credit. Amen? Yeah, what are you guys talking about? What are you talking about? Hey, you know, he's been working. How many say he's been working with me for a while? Amen? Give him some credit. There's some stuff in you might not even know that's there, that when you're speaking to somebody, all of a sudden these things begin to pop out of you. How many say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Praise God. I don't think I was even saved 6 months when I was talking to a guy up at the mine, and he was a Jehovah's Witness. Anybody know what a Jehovah's Witness is?
Oh, yeah.
Praise God. And, you know, we were talking about God's word, and I was really new at it. I didn't know a lot. And when I were talking, I said, brother, let's pray. And I reached my hands out and he goes, I don't pray with you. I said, why? Because you pray in the name of Jesus. I pray in the name of Jehovah. And I go, well, isn't that the same thing? I didn't know. Oh, what the heck? What are we talking about here, bro? But anyway, he says, no, I'm not praying with you. He walked away. Man's name was Emmett DeLuna. I'll never forget it. How many know, remember those names that you know, there's something they did? Something. Hallelujah. So I always pray for Emmett. But the fact of the matter is, I went home, and the next day I was talking to him, and I said, hey, look, I'm not going to ask you to pray for me, but let me just tell you something. And all of a sudden, these words began to come out of me that Jesus was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Bible says that God shed his blood and his son. I mean, how could God shed his blood? Well, through his son, Jesus. How many say amen to that? And say, man, Jesus was God, bro. Do you know that? And I didn't even know that that was one of their tenets, I guess, that Jesus wasn't God. But I was sharing this stuff. It was just rolling out of me. And I thought, I don't even know some of the stuff I'm saying. Amen? Folks, can I tell you that we can give the Holy Ghost a little credit?
Yeah.
Let's give him some credit that he knows about that person you're about to speak to. He knows about what's going on in their life. All you have to do is what comes up in your heart. Just say, hey, bro, God loves you, man. Yeah. And I don't know why he's telling me to tell you this, but, you know, he tells me that you need to start using some deodorant. I don't know. I don't know what God might say to you, man. But you know what? You know what? I'll tell you what. You never know what God will do out of the words that come out of your mouth. Amen?
Right.
So, I mean, isn't that right, Brian? Be willing to say what God springs up in your heart. Be willing to say, hey, you know, to take that step. Say, hey, you know what? God knows what he's doing. How many know that God knows what he's doing? Hallelujah. When he ended up being my pastor. When he asked me, he goes, do you know Jesus? My answer was, I'm a Catholic. What kind of question is that? I'm a Catholic. He knew, God knew exactly the question to ask me. Amen?
Yep.
And then he says, well, I didn't ask you if you're a Catholic. He says, do you know Jesus? That was a difference. There was something different. I go, well, I don't know. What do you mean, know him? Well, do you want to get to know? Well, yeah. if I can get to know you. And then he led me to the Lord. That was a day of my salvation, August 8th, 1979. Amen? Amen. Never forget that day. So I'm not as old as I look. Praise God. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm something like 43 years old. I don't know. Praise God. And I'm going to go with that because the Word of God says I have the dew of my youth upon me. How many say amen to that? I mean, you got to agree with God's Word. Amen? I don't care if you guys look at me. You don't look so old. You don't look so young. But I don't care if you think about it. God's Word says I have the dew of my youth upon me. Right. Amen? Hallelujah. Come on, you guys get up and do this. See how long you can do that, eh? Come on, man. Praise God. God's word is God's word. How many say amen to that? I mean, you can't, hey, don't talk to me about it. Tell him. You don't believe it? Tell him. This is his word, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can't go by what you see, amen? Praise God, amen? If I went by however the way you guys feel about me, oh, man, I'd probably be, oh, he's an old man. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, know that God knows what he's telling us. Amen. His word, when it impacts your heart, let me just say this to you. It will change your life. Amen. It will do something that no other word can do. Can I say that to you? I love when people speak God's word, but I really love when the Holy Spirit begins to speak into my ear. I really love that because generally he's saying something that is so, so important. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, hey, in order to get you out here, I better get you going. Don't forget about the turkey bowl. Hallelujah. Just kind of have fun together. How many know it's important we have fun? Do you think it's important that the men and women of God have fun in this world? Amen. Do you think it's important that God wants you to enjoy your life? Amen. Hallelujah. Enjoy the people you're around. It's okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise it. The next day you'll hurt. Next day you'll find out how young you are. Praise God. So, hey, try to make the turkey bowl. It'll be fun. It'll be lots of fun. We're looking forward to seeing you there. If you will, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. The sermon title today is Breaking Out. How many say amen? Yeah. Don't you think it's time that we break out? Amen. Hallelujah. How about an outbreak in that city of Christianity? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, man. Give us an outbreak, Lord. Hallelujah. Breaking out. Hallelujah. God wants you to break out. Amen. Yeah. Woo. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Acts chapter 16. And we're going to start at verse 16. Let me get my word. Let me get the Bible up here. Familiar territory for. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 16, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would touch our hearts with your word. Father God, whatever is in our hearts that's contrary to you, Father, use your word today, Father, to clean out and get out those things that are not of you, God. Father, we thank you for it. Holy Spirit, speak to us as we look at your word, as we hear, Father God, the message today. Father, I ask you that you would just quicken me, give me the words that I need to speak as I need to speak them, to encourage and to build up the body of Christ today. Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. 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 Starting at verse 16, the Bible says this, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, who we're talking about, Silas and Paul, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. That's not bad, right? Here's this girl that's possessed, walking along, following Paul and Silas and Luke, obviously, and saying, hey, these men are servants of the Most High God. Doesn't sound like there's much to her, much to that, does it? But this young lady is possessed with a demon. She's possessed. And can I tell you that a lot of times possessed people like to attract attention upon themselves. How many say amen to that? And this lady's she's just because she's been used to being the voice of prophecy, if you will, soothsayer, fortune teller, if you will. She'd been used to being that voice in that city. And she had some guys that were her masters. So here's the word of God says this. She did this many days, but Paul being grieved. That means he got tired of it. How many of you ever gotten tired of something? You ever gotten tired of something that's not right in your life? Yep. Man, there's a lot of things. Sometimes I get tired of it. Amen. I'm just tired of it. I mean, anybody said that before? Or was that just me? No, you guys said it before, huh? Come on, man. I'm just tired of it. Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Amen. Did it take an hour? No, it didn't take an hour. It just took out that word. Get out. I'm tired of this, man. Get out. Hallelujah. Hey, look at that. A bunch of people left. No, I'm just kidding, man. Praise God. Oh, no, stop it. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace, into the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, because we're Romans. Isn't it funny? Can I tell you something? If you lead a prostitute to the Lord, you might be facing a pimp. How many say amen to that? Because there are folks out there that like to make money on people because they want to control people. How many say amen to that? People are after people to control them. Can I tell you that? Hallelujah. And you know what? God has come to do something better in their lives. How many say amen to that? God wants to do great things. I mean, there's human trafficking going on. How many say amen to that? There's stuff like that going on in our world today. And what those people need is a word. Amen? Amen. Can I tell you, I don't care what they look like. I don't care what kind of cartel they're from. The word of God in your heart is more powerful. Greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. How many know that? That word that's in you, hallelujah, will set people free. Do you know that? Because it's Jesus, the word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Ooh, there used to be a young man that used to come to this church, him and his family. And his family down in Mexico were cartel members. And he was basically hiding from them, trying to stay out of the way because he had gotten saved. His wife got saved in a church, and then she spoke to him, and the Lord graciously brought him in to the kingdom of God, and now he's trying to hide from his family. His uncle finally showed up. And his uncle told him, if you don't come back, they're going to send somebody out for you. Just you. And he led his uncle to the Lord. Can I tell you what? Can I tell you the gospel of Jesus Christ is the most powerful thing in the earth? How many know that? How many know that? Oh, you better know it. And it's in you. It's dwelling in you. The gospel, the truth of God is dwelling in you. And there's nothing that can by any means hurt you, and nothing can stop you but you. Come on, man. Everybody say, look at your neighbor and say, yeah, but you. Come on, say, yeah, you. He's talking about you. No, don't say it. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. They brought him before these magistrates, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes. The magistrates didn't tear off their clothes. They tore off Paul and Silas's clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, he thrust them. Everybody say thrust. What does that mean? I'm going to throw you into. They threw them. Amen. Hallelujah. They threw them, or they thrust them into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. I was planning on bringing something up here where I could put some put a couple of guys and get your shoes tied up and put something over you and tell you, hey, man, this is the way these guys were. Can I tell you, these guys were very uncomfortable in that jail. Can you say amen to that? They're in the inner part of the prison. Amen? A lot of times the inner part of the prison was the lowest part of the prison where the dungeon would be, where they would be, where the mire of the stuff that was coming out of all the guys. This was generally the place that they were at. This is probably where they were at. They were in the inner part of the prison. And can I tell you, they were suffering. How many say amen to that? How many know that they were suffering? They had just gotten their backs beat. Amen? They were wide open wounds and sores, sitting in this prison. And the word of God says this. I love this part. Having such received the charge, thrust him into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks, tied up, backs to the wall, probably not leaning on the wall because of their backs. At midnight, the Bible says that Paul and Silas prayed. How many say amen? Can I tell you, this not only was probably the dungeon part or in the stinky part of the prison, it was also the dark part, very dark, at midnight. And then it says, and they sang praises to God, and their prisoners heard them. Amen? Who's singing? I don't know. They've just brought a couple of guys in there. They've stuck them down there. Well, they're singing. Yeah, that's weird, huh? What's wrong with them? They sang unto God, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Amen? The foundations of that prison began to shake. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. Not just Paul and Silas. Everybody's bands were loose. How many say amen to that? Come on, man. Woo. And then it says, and the keeper of the prison awakening out of sleep, didn't hear the earthquake, I guess, or was enjoying the music, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled because they had charged him, keep these guys safe, amen? Didn't do your job, bro. It says, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Isn't it funny how Paul knew wherever that jailer was that he was about to hurt himself? Isn't that funny? Come on, folks, I will tell you, that was not Paul. That was the Spirit of God. He just said, they're in this dark part. There was no light. How did Paul know that this guy was getting ready to end it all? How did he know? He didn't. The Holy Spirit knew. And Paul's mouth opened up and said, hey, do yourself no harm. We're here. Praise God. Verse 29 said, and he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Here comes the light. He came into where they were at. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and all thy house. Can I just say this to you this morning? You want to know how to get saved? Believe in Jesus. I don't know, whoever's in the house, I don't know who you are. I mean, because some of you do know Jesus. Most of you, I'm assuming know Jesus, but in case there's somebody that does not know Jesus in here. Here's how you believe on the Lord Jesus. Believe on him and you will be what? Saved. Believe him. Amen. Because when you believe in Jesus, you are believing the creator of all things. Amen. Everybody say all things. That's who he is. He is the creator of all things. Hallelujah. Is that me, brother? Yeah. Walking around too much movement. Yeah, it's me. I'm going to push that. How's that? Is that better? Okay. And he called for a light and sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And he says, he adds this on there, and your house. Amen? How many of you like that part? And your son, and your daughter. And your grandfather, and your grandmother, and your mother-in-law, and your father-in-law. Come on. Come on, your nephews, your cousins. Come on, hallelujah. Can you expect big things from God? Absolutely. Just say it. Just speak it. Hey, hallelujah, like we heard this morning. And they spoke unto him, the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their what? Stripes. And was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. How many say amen to that? Isn't that a good story? And that's a good story. Amen. Hallelujah. Did he worry about, hey, I'm bringing in these prisoners to my house, man. What are my kids going to think about this? What are my wife going to think about this? Hallelujah. He didn't think about that at all, did he? He grabbed those guys and he took them into his house, washed their wounds, and he fed them. Isn't that right? Here's a man that got changed. How many say amen to that? Come on, man. Hallelujah. I just want to talk a little bit about breaking out. And man, I'm sorry. But I want you to put up, I just want you to see then in verse, I think it's 26, it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Am I going to say amen? The foundations were shaken. How many of you know that when God comes in your life, he's going to shake your foundation? Is that right? Whatever you've been standing on, whatever you've been believing, when he comes in your life, he's going to go after it. How many say amen? Aren't you glad God goes after the things that are contrary to him that's in your life? Aren't you glad? Or can you give him thanks for that? Amen. Say, thank you, Lord, for that, because that's what these guys were doing. These guys were thanking God in the midst of something that was crazy. Isn't that right? Would you have been that way at midnight in the mire? Would you have been singing, oh, thank you, Lord. I just want to sit here at your feet. Come on, would you have been doing that? Come on, man. Probably most of us, maybe, maybe not. But see, these two guys had a different attitude. And when they sang these praises, the Bible says that the foundations were shaken. Hallelujah. I know that when I was saved, I know when I gave my heart to the Lord, the foundations I was saying began to sink. The ones I was standing on. The first one was, I'm a Catholic. That was the first one that came that I sensed, man, just had nothing for me. I mean, don't get me wrong. I had to have some kind of thing that, something going on. You know what I mean? But what I didn't know was that there was something greater. And the foundation that he began to place in my life, he shook the foundation. Here's Isaiah 28, verse 16. Let's really look at that. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste. Can I tell you, what is Zion? Do you know, can I tell you who Zion is? It's you. That's who you are. See, God wants to plant his, you know, we sing a song, you know, and we sing a song that talks about, what's that word? It's in our, what's that song we sing about the house, man? I just lost it, man. We sang it last week. Anyway, I'm sorry. You help me out, Stella. This is a house of what? Prayer, right? Of house of worship. This is a house of healing. This is a house of freedom, praise. I mean, what's it talking about? The building? No, it's talking about you. It's talking about your house, who you are. You are Zion in the earth. Can I tell you that? Yeah. God loves you so much, but you are Zion. And it says, behold, I lay in who? You, in Zion. For a foundation, a stone. We have a rock to stand on. How many say amen to that? Yeah. Come on, hallelujah. It's a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. The more you know about him, the bigger your foundation gets. How many say amen to that? That foundation, it's a big foundation that's under you just by knowing him. But when you begin to look at him and hear him, that foundation begins to take this expansion. How many say amen to that? Because he wants to shake your foundation and place you on a foundation that you cannot be shaken after. Can I tell you, this world cannot shake you off this foundation unless you let it. Come on, man. Talking to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Here you go. Here's Isaiah chapter 51, verse 16. Check this one out. It says, and I have put my words in your mouth. How many say amen to that? How many of you have God's words in your mouth? In your heart. I mean, that I have covered you with the shadow of my hand. How many like that? Yeah. He's put his words in my mouth and he's covered me with the shadow of his hand is that I may plant the heavens. Do you see that? He wants to plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth. Come on. Hallelujah. And say unto Zion, you are my people. Amen. How many of you know that somebody had to tell you about Jesus? Is that right? Somebody told you that Jesus is Lord. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Somebody said things to you that made you decide, praise God, man, how do I get there? You just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And that foundation, yeah, he lays the foundations of the earth. And he says to you, his people, you are my people. You belong to him. Can I tell you that's a great position to be in? Oh, God, Lord, let me finish this thing before I get too crazy. Isaiah 58, verse 12 says this. Check this out. They that be of thee shall build the old waste places. How do you say amen to that? Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Is that cool? Come on, everybody say amen. I mean, you guys can talk. I don't mind if you guys talk. As long as you're not talking, just talk to me though, or the Lord, but don't be talking to each other. It says, thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations and shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. How many of you are glad for that? Hallelujah. Can I tell you, this building did not belong to the kingdom of God, but it does now. Hallelujah. See what he did. He grabbed this old waste place. You know, and if there's some of you are bowlers, and hey, I'm not trying to come against you. I'm not trying to be, you know, you used to stand right here and you used to run over. I mean, but let me say this, what, to God, it was a place that was wasted. That's right. But how many of you know that this place is not wasted anymore? This place is standing for the kingdom of God. This is one of the places on earth that Zion gathers together. Amen. Amen. Come on. Praise God. Think about it. Amen. Hallelujah. Waste places. And then the word of God says that he will open doors, right? He shook the foundations and then the doors sprung open on that prison. Amen. Revelation 3:8. Look at this. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, hast kept my word, and has not denied my name. Can I tell you something? This is one of those first scriptures that when I found it in the word of God, I realized that God had just opened a door. He said, look, I know you. Can I tell you that? Can I tell you, I mean, you might be fooling people around you, but you ain't feeling fooling God. How many say amen to that? Amen. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? People get fooled. You can fool pastor because he ain't too bright. You go, hey, you're not too smart. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. You're going to fool me, but you can't fool God. And he says this, I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door. How many know? Can I tell you who Jesus is? Jesus said, I am the door. Jesus said, I'm the door. And he says, before, I said it before. Isn't it nice that God set a door before you to walk in? Isn't that nice? He's not trying to keep you out. He said, man, come on in. Come on in. The next verse, watch this, is 3:20. He says, behold, I stand at the door and what? Knock. Have you ever heard him knocking? Have you ever gotten up in the middle of the night just because, I mean, maybe you got to, I don't know, one drink of water? You get up and then you hear, spend some time with me. Yep. Read the word. You sense, you hear a scripture. I said, man, I'm going to go look at the scripture. No, I'm just here to get water. And you go back to bed. No, come on. There's a knocking going on in your heart. God is knocking for you to open the door so that he can come in. The Bible says right here, he wants to sup with you. Is that right? I will sup with you. What's he talking about? He only give you some food. Can I tell you that we need the food that God gives? Because our world is trying to dish us out here. Shut here. Eat this, eat that. They're trying to shove stuff to us to eat, to take in. And God is saying, man, let me feed you. Get rid of that stuff. Turn off your Facebook. Ah, just kidding. Yeah, some of you say, wait a minute, you're not going to take my Facebook from. Oh, come on. Some of us guard our face. Hey, you know what? Don't you fast your Facebook. I can't even say it. Fast your Facebook.
That's right.
You didn't get an amen out of that, did we? Everybody goes, oh, I ain't saying no, man. So be it. He's trying to open the door. He is opening the door to you so you can find him in a way that you've never found him before. How many say amen to that? Amen. When he did that, I realized he knows me. Everybody, look at your neighbor and say, he knows you. And look at him and say back to him, he knows you too. Why are you looking at me? Well, he told me. Pastor told me to look at you. Hey, he knows you. Can I say that to you? He knows you. Praise God. The last thing that he did was he said, the Bible says, and the bands or the bonds were loosed on these guys. How many? Everyone in the prison. Can I tell you, when God shows up, there's something that happens. Amen. God is able to break every bond, every band, everything that's going on in your life. He's able to break it. Hallelujah. Here's a Luke chapter 13, 11 through 13. Look at this. This is beautiful. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself. Can I say that? Long-term sickness. How many say amen to that? Long-term. 18 years is pretty long. How many say amen? Fighting something. And could no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Can I tell you, immediately after this, the Pharisees got mad, and he goes, hey, man, you guys wouldn't do it for her. And she's a daughter of Abraham. And you guys wouldn't even touch her. 18 years, boys. How many say that's too long? Infirmities will try to linger and hang on. Just keep speaking to them. Amen. Right. If you've got something going on in your body, know that God says, I've already healed it. Receive that and just keep speaking to it. Say, get out of my life. Get out of my life. Get out of my life. I've got an ingrown toenail. I don't, but maybe I'm just saying, you know, but say, get out of my life. Get out of my life. Get out of my life. Hallelujah. Got a blood disease. Get out of my life. Folks, getting old, or I should say getting up in age, doesn't mean you have to forget. Who told you that? Society. Everyone around you. Isn't that right? Everyone around you tell you, oh, you forgot something. They go, ah, you're just getting old. Shut up. Amen? Amen. No, I ain't getting old, man. I use this all the time. My daughter and my son probably get a little excited. I said, I remember driving my son to school. Halfway there from my house, you guys know where I live. I live on Elephant Head. Halfway there to Sarita School, he'll say, Dad, I forgot my tennis shoes. Oh, yeah. Hey, man, guess what? Playing your whatever you got on, man. Because, Dad, it's basketball, yeah. Well, hey, see, folks, you don't have to be old to forget. Amen. Forgetting happens. Sometimes you're just busy. Amen? Don't let the enemy say in your own house that you're getting a forgetful mind. Don't let him. That's right. The Bible says this. The Word of God says this. God's not giving you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and what? Power. Everybody say it again. Now, what kind of mind? A sound mind. How many? What does a sound mind look like?
Energetic.
Yeah. Yeah. And it also looks like Jesus. Do you know that you have the mind of Christ? Do you know that God has given it to you? It's just that we got to get into connection with it. How many say amen to that? The Holy Ghost is trying to get you to connect to the mind of Christ. He's trying to say things to you, trying to remove from you things and thoughts that you've been having that he says, that's not me. That's not me. That's not me. How many of you want everything out that's not him? That's me, man. Hallelujah. I was doing a eulogy for a friend of mine that passed away at the mine. And then his wife asked me, he goes, hey, can you do the eulogy? I said, sure. So I'm writing it down. And I wrote down, death is just a part of life. And to me, it was no big deal. But immediately, folks, immediately, the Holy Spirit said to me, where did you get that? I go, what? I don't know. Everybody says that. Everybody knows that. Death is just a part of life. And he says, show me the scripture for that. I go, well, God, you tell me where it's at. You know what he told me? Get it off of there.
That's right. Amen.
Get it off of there. You see, God is trying to pull everything that's not of him out of you so that he can replace it. See, he's desiring to place a sure foundation in your heart. He's trying to get that. He's trying to open those doors. He's trying to get you to walk through the door so you can find that thing that he's trying to get to you. How many say amen to that? Hallelujah. Healing is one of these things that we got to remember that God has said, I've already taken care of it. Don't let your body talk to you. You talk to your body. Did I hear somebody saying this morning that we're kings and priests and we make decrees? Is that right? Talk to your body. See, God created man, spirit, soul, and body. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
See? And just because he created spirit, soul, some folks say, well, the flesh is no good for nothing and it never can work. Can I tell you something? That's not what the Word of God says. The Apostle Paul says that till you be presented perfect in spirit, soul, and body. So get your body into alignment, folks. Amen. Don't let it just talk to you. It'll talk to you. Amen. It'll give you a pain here. Go, oh, I better go see the doctor. No, come on, man. Come on. What did Jesus say about it? The body, the Bible says, is not for fornication. Oh, watch that word. The body's not for fornication, but it's for the Lord. This is what the scripture says. The body is for the Lord. And it also says, and the Lord is for the body. This body that you're walking around in, God wants to quicken it. He says in Romans 8, he says this, if the spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, it dwells in you. How many say amen? That same spirit will also quicken what? Your mortal body. By the Spirit that dwells in you. He will quicken you. You're in for the long haul. I mean, say amen to that. You're in for the long haul because God wants to use the body of Christ today. He wants to see some 200 old man so that somebody can say, how'd you get so old, Jesus? Praise God. And check it out. You want to arm wrestle? No, sir. You know why? Because they don't want some 200 old man telling their friends that some 200 old man beat them. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, folks. We got to believe God. You got to believe this word. It could be just a cute sermon. Amen. But unless if you're not believing him, God, what are you doing? What are you doing if you're not believing God? Hallelujah. Take his word for what it says. Glory to God. Here's Leviticus. He wants to open he wants to break all the bonds. Here's Leviticus. It says this, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. I mean, say amen to that. Do you guys know that the land of Egypt is a type of the world we're in? And God, when he changes you, when you become born again, he brings you out of that land of Egypt. Amen. And he says, out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. How many say amen to that? Isn't that a good word for today? Oh, yeah. What you see on that, what they're telling you on Channel 9, Channel 13, what they're telling you, hey, you don't have to receive it because you are not of this world. You are of the kingdom of God. And it says, he brought you forth out of the land of Egypt that you should not be their bondmen. I have broken the bands of your yoke. How many say amen to that? He's broken whatever it is that's troubling you. He's already broken it. And then he says, and I've made you to go, what? Upright. Upright. You know that woman that we were talking about a little bit? She was bent over. She was bent over. And see, the word of God says, I want you upright. I want people to see how tall you are. Amen? Hallelujah. Talking and looking. I wasn't really talking. Brother Steve Cargo was looking at me and his grandson standing next to him. And his grandson's up here. He goes, look at that. Look how tall he is. Yeah. Pretty soon, his grandson's and we're going like this. Okay, Grandpa, calm down. Just put a smile on that face. Amen. God wants us walking tall. He wants you to be a light. He wants the world to see the glorious things that he does for people. How many say amen to that? These guys, all these things happened. The doors, the things coming off of all the prisoners, the foundation being shaken because these two guys decided, what else can we do? Let's just praise God. Let's just worship him. Let's just pray. Let's sing a song. Come on, Silas, you started. Okay, praise God. I will enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Ouch. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Can you see it? Can you hear it? That thing began to shake. God says, I'm going to clean this thing up for you, fellas. I'm going to take you to a place where we're going to clean your wounds. And those people, they're going to know me because of who I am. Praise God. Psalm 22, verse 3. Do you know this? That God inhabits the praises. Do you know it? If you knew it, you'd be saying it more. You'd be giving him thanks. Praises or thanks. There are my. You can put it up there and then come back to this if you would, Abe. The power verse, once again, is what we spoke of last week. The power verse. One more minute. He said, wait. He's slapping the computer back there. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. What part of continually means just tonight? There's no part of continually means tonight, isn't that right? It means all the time. It's always. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, in other words, he's going to explain it a little more, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. That's praise, amen? You're just praising God. Hallelujah, you just praise God for that you just got your back whipped. You praise God that you're sitting in stock. You're sitting in the worst part of the prison. It stinks. It's cold. Hallelujah, it's dark. And you just praise God. And watch. Because when that's happening, God moves. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. Put that up and down, brother. The word for inhabits is Yashab. Everybody say Yashab. Look at your neighbor and say Yashab. Tell him you look crazy. Tell your neighbor you look crazy when you say that. Yashab. The word of God says that God inhabits the praises of people. The word Yashab is inhabits, and it means that he sits down and he dwells. Aren't you glad that God wants to sit down with you and dwell? Aren't you glad? Can you give praise and thanks to God? We are in a thanksgiving mode. How many say amen to that? Hallelujah. When those folks come over to your house, man, you give them thank you. You thank God for, thank you, Lord, for all the people you bring into my house. When they thank you, Lord, for all the people you're not bringing to my house. God, thank you, Lord. Amen. I only have so much mashed potatoes. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. But when they show up, give God thanks and watch God do something great in your life. This is a week of thanksgiving. Start today. And like we did that last week, begin every day, every minute, continually give thanks to the Lord. How do you say amen to that? Can you all stand? Let's pray. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, it's 12:04. Your roast is, you know, hey, it's fine. Lord, we thank you this morning for your word, God. Father, we give you thanks and praise. Father, none else can do what you do for us, Father. There's nobody. So, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would, Father, speak to every heart. Touch every person that's here, Lord. Lord, let them give thanks. Let them get thanks. For when they're giving thanks, Father, your word tells us, Father, that you begin to sit down with them. You begin, Father, to inhabit them. Father God, we know that in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy, and that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So, Father, I just pray strength for all your people today. Joy, unspeakable, and full of glory. Fill them with your Spirit, Lord. Fill them to overflowing, Father. Cause them, Father God, to be such a blessing this week to those around them. Thank you for it, God. Praise you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, hug somebody's neck and come on.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.